Ginger, I wonder if you'll tell us where you were born and when you were born.
I was born in June 5th, 1927, south of LeGrand on Bushnell Road.
And you've lived in LeGrand and Union County most of your life, except for 10 years that you were in Huntington. In growing up, what school did you attend when you started to school?
I attended Central School, junior high, and then high school. All in LeGrand.
All in LeGrand. Then you had to walk approximately how far from your house to Central School?
We lived about 2.5 miles from Central School.
And that was walking in snow and winter, and there was some pretty deep snows.
Oh yeah, we always walked where it was the deepest, you know.
Is there anything when you were going to grade school that you remember that were outstanding?
No. We used to play baseball quite a bit, which I enjoyed. I fell and skinned my knee one year, and it took, I think, probably 3 months for it to heal up. And then I can remember pushing the Houle twins, Kathleen and Elaine Houle, at school. They'd come over to school, and we'd push them in the swings. And then I can remember one year we were studying Japan, and we painted some sheets like a Japanese flag, and we took them out on the lawn in front of the school there and let them dry, and it was lots of fun.
Do you remember about what year that was?
No, I think I was in about the third grade.
So that was long before the war.
Yeah.
How many brothers and sisters did you have?
I have 4 brothers and 2 sisters.
And where did you fit into the family?
I was about in the middle.
And was that an advantage or a disadvantage?
Well, come think of it now, I think it was probably an advantage. I got bigger brothers and sisters to tell me what to do. And then little ones, I got to tell what to do.
Well, is there any particular things that you liked in grade school, classes, things you liked to study?
I enjoyed all of them. I don't think I was very good in English, but I always enjoyed math. And I enjoyed going to school. I don't know whether it's just because we lived out and didn't have all this modern stuff, but it was something to go to.
The fact that you lived so far from school, 2.5 miles, was that a disadvantage in participating in class activities or after school programs?
Not when I got in high school, when I did that, because I took after school sports. You walked, you got home maybe a little bit later than if you got out at 3:30, but you get home probably about the same time.
Living here on the hill, did you have chores to do, and what were they?
Yeah, we had chickens and cows and pigs. We had to help with the chores. Then we had garden that we had to do. And then in the fall, we always picked apples. We had about 21 trees that had apples on, and we made lots of cider, which was lots of fun. We helped the folks whenever.
Did many other kids from what you might say town come up here? Because at that time it was quite a distance from what you might say the city limits was to where you lived.
Well, there were some that would come up. Some of our friends, Pat Conrad, she lived down about, I'd say about a mile or two from us. And she would come home with me. And when my older brothers, there was boys come home with them. So we had a few. And we did have neighbors that had children when we was growing up.
What kind of games did you play with the people when they came up to your house?
Well, we played outside mostly, you know, hiked around and played baseball or wrestled.
Well, there weren't any sidewalks or
paved
streets or anything like that.
No, when it got muddy, you usually had to wear rubbers or get your shoes dirty. We usually wore rubbers down to about your place and ditch them somewhere in some of those bushes along the way and then pick them up when we came home.
Well, then when you got into high school, I know that you were a majorette. Was it difficult to come into night games and things that they activities they had to perform at?
No. In the winter months, if it was bad weather, we stayed in town with Reagan's. And we worked at their they had a restaurant, and we worked there.
What was the name of the restaurant?
Reagan's Cafe. Uh-huh. And it was on Adams, in that building that's just new there now.
Used to call it Phoenix Building?
Uh-huh. It used to be a pool hall and barbershop. And we stayed with them. My sister and I would work after we got off of school, and then in the mornings whenever we got up, we'd work for our staying there at night whenever we had deals. Otherwise, my older brother, during the war, he took us. He could drive, so he took us to school with some of the deals. And he went into the service, so it was walk or else.
Well, did you go to many movies during that time?
Probably the first one I can remember was when I was in the first grade. And I was so shy, I had to have my sister go with me. The whole class went. And it was Alice in Wonderland. And then I think we went to several of the Christmas shows that they had. I remember Wild Man of Borneo, was it? I don't know. It was a scary one for me. But really, I don't think we went probably to over a dozen shows when we was young.
Well, these were Depression times. And what effect do you think the Depression made on the things that you did and were able to do?
I think it taught us how to save and look at the better side of life. You know, money don't buy everything. It's what you get with your family and friends. You don't have to have something to entertain you all the time. You can entertain each other.
If you were poor, you didn't know it because everybody else was like you.
Yeah. We'd have, in the winter months, once in a while, the neighbors would have a party, I guess you'd call it. And we'd go to somebody's house, and there was my dad played the guitar, and Grandpa Smith played the violin, and his daughter played the accordion. And it seems like somebody else, when my uncle came, he played the banjo, and they would sing and dance and visit. But that was our entertainment in those days.
Would they have like a potluck?
Yeah. We usually had sandwich that had boughten bread, which we didn't have. Our mom made all of our bread, so that was quite a treat for us kids.
Now, when you got into high school, of course, World War II started, and did you notice a difference when the war started? What did you feel as in the community, or what was going on?
Well, I think everyone was behind it. I had a brother that went into the Air Force, and who was killed over in the Pacific. But we was all behind him, and I think majority of the boys in my class were in the service whenever we graduated. So.
Did you have to assume some of the responsibilities because of people having gone into the service and working at war jobs?
Well, I guess we was in high school, and we did have the job at Reagan's. We worked on weekends, and which helped them. But I think I was out of high school whenever I went out and did my first job. I got 45 whenever I started working out.
Did the rationing, did that bother you? Is there anything particularly you remember about food rationing and shoes and things like that?
Not too much. Sugar was sort of hard to get, and gas, of course. My brother would let the car coast down the hill, so we wouldn't use any gas. But then we had to use the gas to come back. But you had to ration it, and you learned to take it easy on some of that. You didn't run to town every time you needed something in the car anyway.
You made do.
Yep.
You started to work after you graduated from high school in 1945.
Well, I guess I had my first job out on a farm. I cooked for a harvest crew, and that was in 42 is when I started that. And then that fall, I wasn't quite 16 yet, so I had to wash dishes in the restaurants on weekends. And then when I got to be 16, I got to work out in the front, wait tables, of course. It wasn't anything like waiting tables nowadays.
When did you learn to drive?
After I got married.
47.
On our honeymoon, Ray tried to teach me.
That was 1947.
Yeah, Bluebird Hill in Idaho, I think, is where he taught me. And ever since then, every time we come to some place that's got lots of curves in, I get to drive.
Well, then, the 2 years when you graduated in 45 and you were married in 47, you worked at the restaurant.
And at Payless.
And at Payless. And Payless was was the first store in the Payless chain.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
How many years did you work for Payless?
On and off, I worked about 25 years. I quit in 47 and then went back. We was in LeGrand for 1 year, and I worked part-time then. And then whenever we moved back in 68, I started working full time.
You raised your family down in Huntington.
Well, first few 9 years, yeah.
Uh-huh. And how many children did you have?
We have 3 children, 2 boys and a girl. And
now you have how many grandchildren, great grandchildren?
9 grandchildren, and I don't know whether I have 5 or 6 great-grandchildren. I think somebody told me that one of Steve's children had another baby, but I haven't heard yet, really.
Well, what did you do in Huntington while you were there besides raise 3 children?
That was about all I did.
You walked to work. You walked to the plant.
Oh, yeah. We walked. The kids and I would walk out to Lyme, which is 5 miles.
From Huntington.
From Huntington to the Lyme plant. And then ride back with Ray on some days. Yeah, it was nice. Of course, the traffic wasn't quite as bad as it is nowadays.
I can imagine. When you moved back to LeGrand, then what besides, did you go back to Penny's, not Penny's, Payless right away, or?
No, we moved back in 57. And then we bought some land at Ladd Canyon, a place, and I went back to work then whenever we bought the place at Ladd Canyon. Otherwise, between 57 and 68, I did mostly but take care of the kids and run the farm up here.
In farming, when you bought the land, what were you raising?
We raised alfalfa and some wheat. And one year we took our dairy cows all out there.
We had 13 cows.
At that time we started out with one cow when we moved up here, and we ended up with about 13 that we were milking during that time.
And you sold the cream to the creamery?
Yes, we sold cream. And
was that Tyler's Creamery or? Somebody else?
Lee.
Roy Leonard?
Roy Leonard. I think it was called Lee's Creamery at that time. It's Roy, I think, bought it out after that. And then we sold milk and eggs.
About how many acres were you farming?
We had 116 out in Ladd Canyon and 50 up here. 167.
Quite a lot of land to take care of.
Well, quite a bit of it's rock, so you don't have to do much. But most of it's pasture land, but out there we farmed.
I know over those years that there's been a couple of times that there's fires in this area. And what is your thoughts living out here? And there hasn't been too much protection at some times in case of fire.
Well, I went through 2 forest fires in my lifetime. First one was in August 17th. And it went through the back part of the place and clear up on Blanchard Place before it got stopped. But it started right down here at the slaughter pond. So, the other one was in August the 19th of 1973, and it started at Hillguard and came clear across. And we just moved into our new house here in the spring, a couple months, and it went over us. But we happened to be lucky enough to live through it.
That's
good. Of course, the federal won't come help you, or the state won't come help you, and at that time the rural wouldn't come help either. They come and watch, but they would not bring any of their fire equipment. And I think the first time we had the CC camp at Hillguard, and they brought them in and helped put it out.
But you are in the LeGrand Rural District, Fire District now.
Yeah.
So that they will
come. Yeah. Well, I guess that's our choice to live outside the city limits, but I enjoy it more than I would inside the city limits. So.
Do you particularly have any pictures taken in that one in 39?
I don't recall us having a camera in those days.
When you were growing up, and I hadn't asked this before, did you listen to the radio much? Or
well, that was another thing.
Family?
We never had a radio until I was, probably in fifth or sixth grade whenever my oldest brother had one, and he let us have it because he got a new one. And we'd listen to, well, we weren't home during the day very much. On weekends, we'd listen to Ma Perkins with my mother and a couple other of those shows. And
One Man's Family?
Yeah, I guess that it was one of them. Ma Perkins is one I can remember, but I know there was a couple
of Shadow?
And so,
The Creaking Door?
And then we'd listen to some music once in a while. And of course, the news. I suppose there was a certain time whenever they had news on, but we didn't even listen to that too much. We weren't in the house, and we was too busy doing something else.
A lot of your entertainment you made,
uh-huh.
And today they seem to have money to do everything. They can't. They have no imagination.
No. A kid don't have toys brought to them. Well, they think they don't have any toys anymore, you know, and they can't get out. We used to get out and play in the dirt and build castles and things like that. I know in the spring we'd go out in the pasture here and get an old cow head and set it up, the eyes and all the stuff in it, you know, and cover it with moss and think it was a castle and all that kind of stuff. We'd spend hours out there playing on like that. But they wouldn't do it nowadays, I don't think.
No. What did you think about raising your family in a community like LeGrand?
Well, I thought it was a nice place to raise them. I'm not very fond of big cities. They're probably okay, but I think they had a better environment here, smaller town, and they had plenty to do. Our kids were in 4-H and then in FFA, and they played on the basketball teams and football teams, so they weren't underprivileged, I didn't think.
Well, it sounds like that was a reasonable thing to do. When you and Ray, a little later on, got involved in square dancing.
We lived in Huntington at that time, and one of his co-workers out the plant kept bugging him to come play a square dance. Well, we could take all of our kids, and which were all small. I think Sonia was about a year and a half or something like that, 2 years old, and then the others. Oh, we all took our kids, and they sat on the sideline, and every time we stopped square dancing, then they'd get out and play, or else they'd fall asleep, and there was a little room that had a bed in they could sleep. But we got to where we really enjoyed it.
So you had actually square danced before we started. What year did we start square dancing with you?
Well, whenever we came back in 57, we didn't square dance until 75, I think, we started back. And you guys started in 76 or 7 or somewhere around there, when we had it down at the Eagles. So we'd been back in a couple of years whenever you guys started back.
Well, it was a great bunch of people because you'd go and square dance, have a pot of mud, a wonderful bunch of people.
Yeah, and then we all went for a long time to all the other clubs around here too. And did you go to Penticton with us in Canada?
No, we went to Klamath Falls with you to the state convention.
It seemed like we went to two of the different states.
We went to the dry dock dance down in Portland.
Oh, that's right, yeah.
And Prineville, I think you guys went.
No,
Prineville. Oh. Yeah, that was lots of fun to go to Portland. Dance with on the dock of the ship.
We went to Aloha and they made sure that we won all of the door prizes. I still don't know how they did that.
Well, I don't either.
Also learned how to round dance in addition to square dancing. And you continued on with
both.
Then we made corn dogs and sold them at different functions around town.
Until they got so many restrictions that you couldn't afford to make them anymore. So
it was, what was the little guy at Albertsons that let us use their...
Gary Lee.
Used their fryer to make corn dogs.
Yeah.
Then... You went on later to rebuild a trailer. Ray did.
Yeah. Yeah, we sold quite a few corn dogs out of that. We went out the Hog Wild Days and sold them for a number of years, too.
Okay. Places that you went around the community was Union, Rockwall, in Elgin,
and
up to Enterprise.
And over to Baker.
Yes, Lewiston.
We went on a trip to Boise one time. And then we did go to John Day. They used to have a square dance club in John Day, and they belonged to our council. And we went over there a couple of times. In Pendleton used to have a square dance. We went over there quite a few times.
Well, the thing that was so great about it was a good, wholesome activity, and people were very nice. Friends that you have for many, many years. And that was quite evident when Howard Wilson's funeral was.
Yeah, I was going to say
recently.
That there were so many of the older square dancers that was there at his funeral. In fact, the majority of them, I think, were there that was square dancers. So.
What a wonderful time.
Yep.
And you and Ray have, for a number of years here, been, well, you did hay. About how much hay that you usually put up per year?
Oh, it depends on what year. One year, he wasn't working at Borden's. We helped my brother. We put up, what's that guy's name that was out?
Cooper.
Oh, Bill Cooper's. And Clyde didn't have that one. Now Clyde has about 300 or 400 acres that we help him put up now. We pick it up. He does. Him and his wife cut it and bale it. Then we pick it up. But there's hundreds of tons.
Well, then you used to go out and cut your own wood.
Yeah, we still do. I think you guys went with us a couple of times.
Yes. About how many cords of wood did you cut per year?
Well, we use about 10 cord or more. So we have to get at least that many, or if we can get a little bit more, then we don't have to get so many the next year.
And you're still running about how many cattle?
Oh, we only have 7 right now. We just have 6 or 7 that we have.
Up here where you live, you have to have a pretty high fence to keep the deer out of your garden.
Yeah, we got 2 big fences around 2 different gardens. And if we don't leave the gate open, the deer don't get in. A couple of times I think we forgot to close the gate and the deer went in anyway. But now we got turkeys and that fence don't help the turkeys. They just fly over the top of it. So,
what number of turkeys would you say are feeding up here on your property?
Well, they're just starting to come in right now, but like my spike.
Besides feed turkeys sometimes, Ray has fed both deer and elk right here in your yard.
Yeah. They come down every winter. If we get snow, they come more of them. But the last couple of years, we haven't had much snow. We have, oh, probably a dozen or so deer that's out when we feed in the morning. And then, of course, the elk come at night. I don't know how many there is of them. One year, though, when it had the hard snows, we had about 100 head of deer that came down every day, and about 85 or 90 elk that came every night.
And you were a hunter right along with Ray.
Yeah.
Tell us, how many deer have you killed? How many elk have you killed?
I've killed 1 elk, is all I've killed on the elk. And probably 10 deer. I usually go along and carry, I'm the squaw, you know. I carry the guns out or hide or something like that. Or help dress. I'm one of those kind, you know.
And you have your own cooler out here, so you cut up your own meat.
Yeah. That is the deer and the elk. We take our beef down to the lockers down here and have them cut it anymore.
Could I interject some story?
Sure.
One year, Ginger's dad and her brother and I went up south to timber hunting while Ginger milked that morning. She was going out after we needed something on the hill after she got through milking. Well, we heard a couple, 3 shots. Didn't think anything else. She never did show up, so we just went on hunting and we came back down the road a couple hours later. When Ginger's mother saw her, she come running up the road, she said, "Dylan," just screamed, "Ginger killed 2 deer up here on the hill." She went up there and killed 2 deer, sent Sonya down over the hill to get Clyde to bring the tractor up to get those deer. We didn't get anything. The big hunters didn't get a thing.
Well, you're an experienced hunter.
Yep.
I understand that you are being able to use the Grange Hall out here. Can you tell us about how you were able to work that out so that you can start using it for square dancing?
I think Bonnie Berry got hold of, well, there the church, there was a church that was in this, there at that time. And I think some of the, her relatives were talking about it. And so they wanted to, the church wanted to move out. And so she got the Grange guy's name, who lives over in Pendleton, and she talked with him, and he said, yes, if we would could get 7 members that would become Grange members, so we could have a meeting every month, then we could use the building and take care of it and fix it up. And so it has a wood floor. It isn't the best of it, but it's a wood floor. It's got a little lump in it, but it's nice. It's got a nice kitchen and a dining room. It's really a nice place to dance. And so we got, I think, 7 or 8 of our club members became Grange members. And we've had a couple of meetings, I guess. We don't seem to get enough to really have a quorum or whatever it is. So I guess the first meeting that we missed, they did have. And then the next meetings, there was the guy from Pendleton hasn't showed up any of the other times. So he's the master. We still have our meetings every month, and we've had several breakfasts, which turned out fairly good, I guess. The square dance members come, some of them, but we haven't had too many other people come.
Well, that's a real good thing, because for so many years, it was very hard to keep a place.
Yeah.
We're always moving.
Yeah, when the we used to dance in the schools, and then of course that they cut us off of those, and then we went over to the fairground, and that was cement floors, and that's sort of hard dancing on. And then we went to Dots for a while.
That was the old telephone building that had been a beauty shop in front.
No. It was down by Old Moon Drugstore.
Where the old Salvation Army.
Yeah. Yeah. And then we got in with Bonnie had bought that or rented that building or that thing, and it had the room in the back that was empty. So
where the old telephone office.
Yeah. So we got that, and then of course they tried to up our rent again in January whenever we moved out there. So they would up our rent every so often, and we did lay a floor just before we moved out there. I think a year ago we refloored the square dance hall down here, and then we moved.
The hard thing is to get enough people for a square, and there need to be 4 couples for each square. About how many are you able to have now?
Well, we're lucky if we can get 1 square on a night we have a club dance. If we have a plus workshop, we usually have 2 to 4 squares. And then the regular workshop, we usually have, we could have 2 if they didn't all sit around and talk all the time. Some of them, they're getting old and dilapidated, I guess. They're not as young as I am.
You keep very active. And then before you go home, everybody gets fed.
Yeah, well, anymore we sort of set it all out, and they eat all the time.
Oh, things have changed a little bit.
Somebody complained about they didn't like to go home on a full stomach, so they started putting it out, and they just mince along all the time.
Over the years, how many different colors have you had?
Well, we started with Bob Herman and Ralph Moore. Then we had Steve Wilson. And now we have Dale Council that have been our main colors. But we have others that are learning to call, and we let call once in a while.
From Elgin, Rocky Anglin, Bud Rogers.
Yeah, and they both have, well, Bud died, and Rocky, I think he lives in Arizona or someplace now. We haven't seen him for quite a while.
Do you still have the celebration up at La Lake?
Yeah.
You used to have in the old skating rink up there?
They have it the first weekend after Labor Day every year. They still have it. This year we didn't have it at the lake because the people that they rent it from had told somebody else they could have that day. So they got it the hall in Joseph Community Center or something there in Joseph, and we had it down there this year. But it was supposed to have been up there, but there was some other group that went in. And one of those things, you know, that... And we still have Dick Spooner and Al Wolfington that are out of Lewiston that come and call.
Dick was a very good caller.
And I think, wasn't it last year that Vaughn was up there?
Well, that's one from Colorado.
Uh-huh.
Yeah.
But he doesn't, I think he called some, but he's had a number of strokes and heart attacks. And so he doesn't, but he...
Well, it's a very good activity, and, but you got to be able to hear and not have any aches or pains. When you...
Well, if you get out there, your aches and pains go away.
You have to tell my wife that.
Okay. Is she going to listen to this?
She probably will.
Yeah.
Well, in all, Le Grand has been a wonderful place to raise your family. And
yeah.
Was there anything that you think you'd do different? Or what do you think about the way things have changed?
Well, I don't know as they've changed for the better, but maybe they have. I still like the older times where you got out and did something.
You used to be able to walk up the Hill Canyon,
yeah,
maybe over to Morgan Lake, around, and it was private property at the time. But now, evidently, somebody's abused the privilege.
Yeah.
And
yeah, I'd like to go on that hike that Mrs. Broughton and the guys go every spring and hike up to Hillgard, I think it is, where they go. But I don't seem to connect with that time. I was going to this year, and then something came up and I forgot what day it was. So... Yeah, you can't, you hardly walk to town anymore without getting run over, and people going up and down like they're mad.
It seems like there's so many people impatient.
Mm-hmm.
A lot of these younger drivers are
they get behind you and boy, they really give you a dirty look if you go on speed limit or so. And yeah, everyone's in a hurry.
Yeah. You're a lot closer to town than you used to be. The town is kind of coming this way. But, where is the urban growth boundary?
It goes in and out coming up the road there. Some of the
Sunny Hill 2 and in that area.
Yeah, but it seems like down there at the foot, one or two of those houses on the right hand side as you come up are still outside of the city limits. And then they got in where these modern homes are built, then they wanted city limits, I think, in them. So I think it's sort of a crooked line that goes through there.
And all these houses that are being built just below you down here, all so big, two-story.
Yeah. Those over by the cemetery I noticed tonight, gosh, they look like mansions. You're going up to that hillside?
Grandview Cemetery.
Is that Grandview Cemetery? Boy, they're big.
It's a real surprise. The Grand doesn't seem to grow that much more.
No.
But,
I think it said that we was 10,000 or so whenever we were in school or that part of, and now it's only up at 12 or 13 or something. So we really haven't. Of course, our city limits is pretty short. I mean, we didn't, whenever they made the city limits, they didn't put it out far enough, probably. I know lots of these little towns you come, it says the name of the town, and you look around, there's nothing there. You go a couple miles, and then you come to the town. So the city limits is out lots further than.
And I know times living out where you have, you've had a little problem with water and your well not being deep enough. Have you had that re-drilled or?
Well, whenever the forest fire went through in 73, we had a well that was 75 feet, and I think something happened to it about the time the fire was on, and we didn't have, it caved in. And then we had another one that was 75 feet or so. And then the last one is down 400 some feet.
So you don't have any problem anymore?
No. So far we haven't, if we can pay the electricity bill, I guess.
Well, the thing about it is, these are some of the things that the people inside the city don't realize, you know, that you have to have your own well,
mm-hmm. The sewer,
go down and a drainage field,
mm-hmm.
And all the things that go along with living out that they take for granted.
Yeah. Yeah, my brother, he's on a spring. He gets all of his water from a spring, yet.
And he lives just south of you.
Yeah.
Half a mile?
Yeah, probably.
It's interesting that you and your brother have lived in this same area for all these years.
Yeah. Well, he wanted a place whenever he got old enough, and him and Dad went over on the other side of the mountain and looked at several farms that was for sale and came back, and he liked one above us, so they got and bought it, and we bought their my folks' old place. So,
and now your son lives on the area where your house set, however he's put a new house.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. Oh, yeah. Well, we deeded the place out to all the kids except This here is ours, 11 acres, so we... They all have 11 acres if they live longer than we do.
Well, that's a neat thing that family lives in an area for that many years.
Yeah, my folks moved up in, let's see, how old are you?
25.
In 25. So that they was up here about in May, I think, is when they moved up in 25. So it's been 78 years.
How long have they lived in the county? Did they come from someplace else?
My dad came from Missouri. And him and a couple of his brothers moved out in 1917 or somewhere around in there, before the war anyway. And they some of them homesteaded for a while up at Enterprise, and then they had a candy kitchen here in McGrand. Then World War I came and the sugar and everything got so expensive, they closed that. And I think Dad worked for the railroad a little bit, and then he worked on the WPA, and then he went to Mount Emery Lumber Company, which he was there for a number of years. And, so he's been in, or we, one or the others. Mom, she came from Kansas. And she didn't come out until she married Dad. But they were all Easterners.
Been here a long time, though.
Yeah. So, you go back there, they think they're out west. I guess they are west of the Mississippi, but...
Well, you have a beautiful view from right here. See all the things that happen down in the city and all the lights.
I watch you every night. Yeah, and you can see the college used to be just that one building there, and then Ackerman, and then they built the dorm. Since then, they've just been building and building. So
now they're building two big athletic fields.
Now, do they have the National Guard? Does that belong to the college too?
Well,
land?
I think eventually it probably will. There's an advantage that's college property.
Yeah.
And the fact that the National Guard train at the Guard and go to school at the college.
I thought that was a college land clear over 12th Street.
Mark. I don't think so.
They're probably just
college property. At one time, I thought even where the stoplight down there is.
Yeah, that's what they said. That was part college, too.
But Fred Bell seems to be there. I don't know what the program is on that. And that new building they just built, I understand, at a period of time, that will probably revert back to the college as well as where the state, where the habitat lab is.
No kidding.
Yeah, that was all college.
Yeah. I don't know what how the mechanics work on it, but I've been told.
They probably lease it from them.
Had a long-term lease,
you know, probably that.
But I'm not that familiar with it to absolutely say. It, well, is there anything that you would like to say that we haven't covered that you think that would be an important thing in your life that you'd like said?
I can't think of anything right now. I'm just enjoy my life, and I think this is a very lovely place to be.
There was one thing I was going to ask you. There's been a lot of things said about a superstore for Walmart, and having worked for Payless Drugstore, and they were the first ones to move out there, you might say, a mall or Albertsons.
Mm-hmm.
What do you think of that?
Well, at the time, we increased our store, and at that time, Payless was a store for the people around here. When I first started, we had a veterinarian deal in there. I mean, they sold vet medicine and stuff. And you sold what the people around here wanted. I know I ordered for houseware, and I'd have people come in and want to know about this or that if they could get it. And when a salesman came, well, then I could find out, and I could buy those things for them. Well, nowadays, you don't do that. They all come in from the warehouse that Payless or Rite Aid has now. You just buy what's in the warehouse, and you just buy so many and keep it up in any of the stores anymore. If you go in there looking for something, and not considering clothes, though, that's something else, but if you want to light bulb or something, you know, just something like that. They only order so many at a time. And if everyone wants that same light bulb at the same time, then you go in, you usually have to wait because they only had three to begin with. And so you wait for it. And in the olden days, we used to buy what they wanted, and usually extras too, and
you knew what your customers wanted.
Yeah.
So you bought things in that quantity to be able to take care of their needs and wants.
We had people from Long Creek in that district that would come in for sales and stuff, and are down from Enterprise, and they're mostly ranchers or farmers. And now, whenever they buy stuff, it's for guys that live on the coast or in the city. And if you're a rancher or stuff, all that stuff don't really make that much difference. You probably want a shovel and that you can dig in the dirt with, not one in the sand.
So, well, that's a good thought.
Yeah, but whenever we got the great big warehouse, they got everything out of the warehouse, and it was just what they get in, you know, for all of their stores. Of course, they had hundreds of stores anymore.
How many years was Gene Detrick the manager?
He was there whenever I started working in 75, 76. I would say he probably started in about 44. And when we moved out to the mall, somebody else took over. And that was in 70.
He was there just a short time after the mall.
He was in the pharmacies, but he wasn't the manager then. So that was from about 44 to 72, 73.
That was a long time.
Yeah.
Well, they were interesting times.
Mm-hmm.